Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke, brought to you by the Citroen C4 Cactus, the antidote to the everyday.
Scaring, you said.
Yeah, that song was scary. I'm all creepered out.
That was a Coco Solid remix.
Was it? Oh, there's little things crawling on me, Coco.
Sorry.
Oh. Maybe she's listening.
Maybe she is.
Yeah, yeah, and she'll be happy.
If she is, shout out to the Hensel sisters.
Yay, yay, yes. That's right. BFM. Yay. Okay, so.
What do we got?
Today we're doing the ultimate. It's the ultimate, one of the ultimate rock pop instruments, I guess, of all time. It's the biggest.
The biggest?
Baddest.
Biggest rip.
Yeah. So this is the Fender Stratocaster, which is a electric guitar. So Fender is the brand. Stratocaster is the...
The model?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently there was a... there was a Telecaster, and then the Stratocaster had this... Sexy body, thinner, the horns, you know, on either side of the body. And so this is in the 50s. And they, so because in the 50s, what was happening was sort of more country music and swing. But
look at this.
Then some,
is
oh yeah.
Coffee delivered.
Her coffee's there with a
little. No, this is yours.
Oh, it's got the Ace of Spades sort of shape on it.
General manager awesome. Hyundai delivering,
yeah,
delivering
right.
Coffee.
No, thank you. No sugar.
You take sugar!
Oh, my God. Outgoing general manager, Hyundai.
Is it?
Okay.
Well, it needs a strat.
Good.
So it had this amazing body that contours to you, and then...
So room for the hips.
It also had a whammy bar that made vibrato. So this is in the mid-50s, so... You know, there wasn't really much rock and roll then, but Buddy Holly picked it up, Ike Turner picked it up, and the rest is history, that it just became the guitar of choice for a lot of guitar players, you know, the actual sort of players. And
it's got a kind of surfy sound as well. Would it have been part of that kind of...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And because I guess the vibrato and the distortion, and then, okay, something, I'm trying to explain this. The pickups are those little bars that are underneath the strings.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently you swap between them, but it had something where people could get right in the middle of it, and they can get one and two going, which made it even louder.
Right.
So guitar people were like, yeah, of course. But anyway,
more power.
I guess it's interesting how people take what's made and not the way it's intended to make.
Yeah.
I mean, to be. And then they play with it and get these interesting sounds. And that's how, yeah, you get that ultimate rock guitar sound. And everyone who's anyone, like, this is their thing. I've just got some names, unless we want to do our surf guitar.
Also famously, was it Lennon's guitar or something?
He played one on some songs, Nowhere Man, the Imagine album.
And it's one for all the dads out there, Beatles reference.
Well, so speaking of surf, let's do the guy who basically invented the surf guitar sound, Dick Dale.
He's really going to town on that thing.
Well, what I didn't know until I did the research for this today, he actually is half Arab and grew up listening to Arab music and playing
hence those
and
cycles.
You're hearing that.
Right.
Na, 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 na. You know, that literally comes from that. And so, and he messed around also with Fender amps. And I guess guitarists are sort of explaining it, that so he can have volume, heaps of speed, heaps of distortion, but it's still got clarity. Like, you can still hear every note. It doesn't just sound like a mush. And what also I didn't know is he actually surfed himself, because I've heard that surfers think that this is what actually it sounds like if you were going to have to, like, have a sound. And I always couldn't see it. Like, how did you get from surfing to this distorted guitar? You know,
unnatural.
But he did surf, and this is actually the sounds that he heard. And then also he did weird stuff because he was left-handed. He played the guitar, you know, the other way around, but didn't restring it. So he played upside down.
Amazing.
And then also with the pickups as well, when you swap it, then they're, oh, whatever.
So back to front, upside down. Just unique.
Just guitar madness. And you can buy a Dick Dale Custom Shop Stratocaster.
Aww.
Made for him so that you can...
So does that mean it's for... if you are left-handed and
now,
you...
No, see, I don't even know. Okay. But apparently you buy it and you just sound just like this.
Okay.
Just as you pick it up. So that's the thing with Stratocaster. They have so many famous people that have sort of made it their own and played it that now you can get like these name ones.
Yeah.
That off of the original dude, which version of it they like. Because obviously, you know, we're talking over 70 years now. Which version of they liked, how they sort of played with it a little bit.
Speaking of famous dudes...
He's a little famous.
Just a little.
Jimmy. So, yes, you can hear the wah-wah pedal. He's the one that started doing that. And what I didn't know, he's from Seattle. What? I know, right? What? You're saying, aren't you from Memphis or Alabama? Because of the, I don't know, so... soul in his music. But what I didn't know either is that he used to play for the Isley Brothers and Little Richard, like just as a guitar player. So I guess he sort of cut his teeth with that sort of old rock and roll funk soul. Well, it wasn't quite funk yet.
He just match fit from being a session muso.
Yeah, well, he didn't get really, really discovered until he moved to England. There's a couple things in pop music history with American artists like that, that, you know, the American market didn't recognize it. And the other thing about Jimmy is normally feedback was considered a bad thing. Like, Oh, no, I have feedback. but he somehow made it part of the sound and enjoyed it and played with it. And also, you know, I guess all the things with the Strat that were problems, too electric, too much feedback, too much sizzle, he, like, used that. And
but this seems to be a theme, right? Using it not completely for its perfect intended use and... it having the ability to be malleable.
Yeah, and playing with it. I mean, you know, obviously we saw that with sort of indigenous and wooden instruments, but, you know, now even this one sort of playing it weird. And he also played it upside down and weird pickups because he was left-handed too.
And on fire.
So, and with his teeth.
Yeah.
And so he didn't start on the Fender. He didn't get one until, like, 66, for all you guys out there that care about that. Well, and then he passed in 70.
Shit.
So it was, you know, it was this sort of later, so not his earlier career. He couldn't afford it. He couldn't afford it, and so he wasn't a Fender Strat player. But, yeah, he got one in 66, and then it became his... guitar of choice. I mean, there's still other guitars. For those of you who are going, well, what are the other kinds? There's Gibson and Gibson Les Pauls. Some people know about Gretsch, Aria, and then now there's like Yamaha and other Japanese kinds. But it's still the rock sound. I don't know if I could tell the difference.
Yeah, I really don't think I could.
But probably, you know, guitar people can.
Right.
I don't know. You know, they can go, oh, yeah, totally.
Like, whether it's an ability thing, whether there are some things that is easier to do because of the
body.
Yeah,
that's right. Or, you know, the sound, or they get it. And some people might be able to tell, oh, yeah, you know, that's got a maple neck, 24 pickups.
Yeah. Triple chord pickups in a whammy bar.
Yeah. I thought some of this lingo was funny. So there's the Fender Strat, but now there's heaps of types of them, right? So you can get a pint-sized Squire Mini Strat with... 22.75 scale neck and hardtail bridge.
What's a mini Strat? Is it literally just a smaller?
Smaller, yes.
Okay.
You can get pre-model axes. They're called axes. You know, your guitar, your axe. Equipped with dual coil humbucker pickups and Floyd Rose tremolo systems.
This is strong.
I had to print that out and read it because I couldn't even write it.
Floyd Rose tremolo systems.
And the other thing with your Strats is you name them.
Yeah.
Like, apparently Dick Dale's was named Duck because it was yellow.
And that's pretty cute.
Donald Duck stickers on. Hey, give me Duck. Where's Duck?
That's really cute.
Okay, now this one, we can't pronounce his name.
Is it Yngwie?
Yngwie.
Swedish?
Yngwie.
Yngwie? Yeah. Yngwie Malmsteen.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
And has a good bonnet, a head of hair that Mikey would be proud of. He's got a cream and white Strat on the cover of the album I'm looking at right now.
Oh, yeah. Now, he literally was classically trained, so you get that. I always think that's a crazy mix because I feel like original rock and roll was anti-classical. You know, roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. But then, you know, in the 70s, we did have folks that were classically trained, and you can really hear it. Bringing that, there's a word in classical music called virtuoso, so that's someone who just plays really, really good.
Yeah.
So they bring that virtuosity into rock and pop music, which sometimes you want simple and you want basic, but these guys brought that complexity. And he's one of the 10 greatest electric guitar players of all time. He customizes guitar, so, you know, like we've been talking about, mucked around with them, plugged things. His is a Fender Strat with Damasio H3 humbucking pickups.
Oh, you can totally hear it.
And he liked the 68 to 72 range best because the bigger headstock generated more sustain. Sorry, I'm just reading it.
There is a level of virtuosity to your craft, let's say, then I guess you look after those small incremental things that might not be immediately.
And if you've ever met a guitar player, I don't know, and a more unfortunately dated one,
I don't know,
some of y'all
thanks.
Out there, yeah, they really are into that stuff, you know, and they can talk it.
Yeah.
They can talk it a lot. It's just, I guess, so rich, and there's so much depth and history and complexity technologically that they can talk about it all night long, baby.
No comment.
Ooh, yeah.
This guy.
So I guess also he shows the versatility for, you know, for an instrument that was originally designed for country and swing to be able to become metal, soul, R&B, you know, become this instrument. And, you know, 60, 70 years later, it's still, you know, one of the main instruments of choice for elite sort of guitar players. They are expensive, but it was hard for me to tell which ones were old, you know, actual vintage or just vintage design.
Right.
Because there were some that was like $300,000. Because Mikey's not here to ask, what's the price?
Yeah, that's
true. What would send me back if I want to get one right now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I hope he's not listening. That's not how he talks.
No, it's not. We love you, Mikey.
So, yeah, some of them were hundreds of thousands of dollars, but I wasn't quite sure, is that a new one or is those an old one?
And is that the kind of thing that you
put... Did Jimmy touch it?
Yeah, is that the kind of thing you put in a case and put on your wall and never touch?
Yeah,
Or are you buying it because it sounds better because it's old? I don't know.
But apparently, yeah, you know, distinctive... The shape doesn't look distinctive to me, but because that's become the shape.
Yeah, for sure.
It's become how they look.
The horns.
Yeah. Yeah, not the V.
not the flying V.
That's another one. But yeah, because I remember when I first met Stratocasters, my guitar playing cousin was so excited that he was getting one. He's a wealthy kid, so he's getting one, even though he's, you know, preteen, early teen. And I just thought, oh, that doesn't look. Whereas, like, to me, the Gibson Les Pauls look so different. That sort of thickness.
They look
and
more
the,
like a traditional guitar shape. Yeah.
To me, it just looked like a guitar, but that's why.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I couldn't tell by looking what was a Strat, because to me, they just look so normal.
Yeah, it became the classic.
Yeah. So, any of y'all got Tinder dates tonight? And if this is a guitar player, like you're dating, you can be like, oh, yeah, I prefer the Fender Strat. And,
yeah.
I was just listening to Yngwie Malmsteen, and, you know, I really love this, his influence of... Paganini and Bach, you know. And
yeah. he's keeping up
and
with
you're him. And you're in, baby. Yeah. See, I just got you some action.
Unless he's a garage guitar player, which case you'll get scoffed at.
Yeah, and then what does he want, though? What do they play? See, we have to learn.
You want a Japanese replica with a hotcake pedal.
They want a mandolin, bro. Mandolin.
We're not making fun at all.
Yeah, we are. It's a bit...
Listen to this guy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Doctor. Talk to you again next week.
All right.
Enjoy the ride. That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke, brought to you by the Citroen C4 Cactus. The antidote to the everyday.